The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, the pumpkin spicy one himself, it's Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Are you a pumpkin spice fan?
No.
Okay, I love the smell. And I hate the synthetic-y weirdness getting it put into everything.
I'm not a huge fan of either.
It's not really pumpkin anyway. No, it's more of a clove cinnamon kind of mix. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me at all.
My favorite dessert of all time is pumpkin pie, hands down. But
not apple?
Pumpkin pie is made of pumpkin. No, I don't do apple, man.
Peach cobbler?
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat those things, right? But pumpkin's where it's at.
Oh, and those huge ones.
Oh, my gosh. They're like hubcaps.
Wheel covers.
Yeah. Although, I will say that I brought up hubcaps to my students the other day, and they didn't know what I was talking
Wheel
about.
Cover.
Wheel cover. Wheel cover. There we go. Much better. So, Professor Jim Tubbs, perhaps
now,
you've
see,
had
I'm
a...
I'm going to call you on that. See, I'm a fan of sweet potato pie.
Sweet
it's
potato
It's lighter, and I like it a lot better than
you're
pumpkin
right.
pie. It's the same spices, but I like it better than
No, you're right.
I've never had
pie.
It. Where
oh,
can you purchase
wonderful.
It?
Oh, it's wonderful. There's a number of restaurants around here.
I love sweet potatoes in general, all the formats.
It's
so
good soul food.
The formats?
All formats
all
and
modes.
Media.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Professor Kendra Evans, who's also here and is about to tell us that
the
she
dulcet
is
tones.
A pumpkin spice maniac.
I'm not.
I know. I was just.
But I would drink it. Like if somebody brought in like a vanilla latte and a pumpkin spice latte, I would choose vanilla. But if somebody just brought me a pumpkin spice latte, I'd be like, yummy, yummy.
Is this free?
Done. Yeah.
Well, it depends right on after. Depends on how much I need coffee. But yes, I would too.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Folks, we are awaiting, because this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, the dreaded pumpkin spice question set.
If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph.
You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. Dear profs, once again, I find myself away from my spot on the panel. This time I'm traveling out of state, but I wanted to participate somehow. So here's a set of questions I threw together for you. I'll give you a passing grade if you get 80% right. Enjoy with love, JJR. Professor Jason J. Roach has sent those.
80% is an awfully high bar.
It's really
He's
high.
Really bar. A tough professor, that
just,
guy.
I just want everybody to know you don't have to earn 80% to pass in my class.
You just have to give me 80 bucks. It's easier that way.
Oh, my gosh. He's assembled, as Jason always does, a very delightful set of quirky questions that will get us talking for
the Roach Man.
Hours. What U.S. currency, pay very close attention, comes in units of $10? $5, $2, and 50 cents.
Quarters.
Ooh.
What U.S. currency?
What U.S. currency comes in units of $10, $5,
okay,
$2, and 50 cents? You're almost there.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm trying to think of the question. So what unit of currency comes in those?
$10, $5, $2, 50 cents. So $10 of quarters, but that's $5 of dimes, $2 of nickels, and 50 cents of pennies.
Oh. Okay, ask what the bank rolls of, of coins are.
A roll of pennies is only 50
cents.
Okay,
a roll of nickels is $2.
The question asking what currency it was is what threw me off.
That's what's interesting. The roll actually says on the outside of it, $10 or $5, $2, 50 cents.
Oh.
So it's about.
So the roll is a currency.
That's what he's sort of alluding to here.
Interesting. Yes. Different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. What's the most sparsely populated country in Europe? Only about 340,000 residents over 40,000 square miles.
Norway?
It says Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
Norway is a.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, except there are at least that many tourists there now.
Have you guys seen the price
popular,
of the flights?
Yeah.
$350 round trip?
Really?
Yes.
Why
from
am
Detroit.
I not on my way to Iceland?
Because there's Norwegian Air and...
Wow
Air, yeah.
Wow.
Man, like I said, I'm seriously tempted just like kids.
Go over for the weekend.
That's all I'm thinking about doing. A friend of mine just did that. Took her two kids and just went. And one of my best friends is in Iceland. He's in Reykjavik.
I think that they speak a lot of English there from what I hear.
Yes, they do.
So
First time I ever went to Europe, I was flying Iceland Air, or it was Icelandic Airlines at the time, and we stopped in Iceland on the way in Keflavik Airport. What I remember is we arrived about dawn, and coming in, you just saw water, and then you saw rocks that seemed to have like fungus on them. And then you landed at the airport because it's about half an hour outside of Reykjavik. Airport is, yeah.
It feels like the Detroit Metro Airport. Huh?
And we didn't even get off the plane. You know, they were just refueling the plane there.
Well, yeah, but you could say you were in Iceland.
Yes.
You were there.
I was in Iceland.
On land. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you fly Detroit to London, you can actually, on Icelandic Air, you can actually have a free layover in Reykjavik. So.
Really?
Yep.
So next time I fly to London, I'm thinking,
they allow free layovers for all of your Europe.
Next time
trips.
We fly to London.
Next time.
It's going to be on Saturday.
When we have the Ask the Professor London remote show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
London, Ontario?
Or the Edinburgh remote show?
I'd go.
Or the Dublin remote show?
I'd really go there.
The Oslo remote show?
Sure.
I saw in the newspaper this week that some national rating board said that DTW is what we call our airport, Detroit Wayne County, is the third.
It was in today's paper. Yeah,
airport in the United States
after
it's
Orlando
so good.
And Las Vegas McCarran.
That's
which,
pretty good.
Having been through both, I don't think I would have ranked them.
I don't remember Orlando being outstanding.
What was the one in Denver? Denver's pretty nice too.
It's brand new.
Denver's nice.
Denver's a great airport. But McCarran has just got all those slot machines in the airport.
Yeah. But Detroit's is better than Denver. I mean, ours doesn't look like mountain range, but it is very good.
Yes. And the two similarities, I was told that both of them don't have mass transit leaving.
Of course.
But isn't Denver working on better transportation?
Yes, and so is Detroit. Yeah. With what's that line? Was it the fast line?
Detroit has a long way to go.
So they're trying to get, because that's one thing I've always heard, you know, if you fly into Denver, it's like somebody better come pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Detroit.
That's a solid 40-minute drive back to downtown if that's where you're going in Denver. Mm-hmm. Lots of rumors about why that is, by the way, because they built that new airport after 9/11. There's rumors that the airport is built very far out because it's in conjunction with where Air Force One would go for government if we ever became under siege again.
Hmm.
Speaking of all things United States, according to a May 2018 report on BusinessInsider.com, what U.S. city has the most expensive rent for a two-bedroom apartment? $36.60 a month.
San Francisco?
San Francisco. Not too hard of a guess.
Or Berkeley. Rental.
Rental.
I sent you that link.
San Francisco is worse than New York.
Yeah, New York's got to be right after that, right?
Oh. Yeah, but did you guys see was that they had an article I saw that they had the last single family unit home there, $855,000. And it was a tar paper shack. And they had like over 100 people coming by to take a look at it.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Let's continue with that way of thinking. What city has the highest rent in the world for a two-bedroom apartment? $37.37 a month.
Tokyo?
It's not Tokyo, but that's a great guess. It's Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Same citation.
Wow.
P.S. Jason to the side. Average. Not really the most tricked out two-bedroom apartment I can find, or something to that effect. It's like, okay, he's actually going on Zillow here. He's looking for apartments. Cranes at construction sites are evidence of economic growth. So says constructionjunkie.com. Which North American city, has the most cranes involved in construction projects as for late July 2018? With 97 cranes on the horizon. That's a lot of cranes.
Toronto,
yeah, that's exactly
I just know every time I'm in Toronto, I see a lot of cranes.
Well,
it looks like being in Western Europe, you know.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's a good number in Metro Detroit right now, which is always good to see. Who says construction in America is falling behind? Which U.S. city has the most cranes currently active, based on the source constructionjunkie.com? 65, U.S. city. Who's expanding?
Minneapolis?
Not Minneapolis, but keep going west.
Las Vegas?
Vegas, keep going west.
L.A.?
Not L.A., go north.
Seattle
is what it says here.
Oh, yeah, Seattle does have a lot.
Do they have room to expand?
Not really.
They're kind of landlocked.
Going up.
And then, like, waterlocked.
Yep, they are.
It is a fun town, though.
Yeah, they need cranes because they're they're moving higher and higher. They can't go out.
It's like a game of Jenga.
Don't need bulldozers.
Which city has the most cranes of any city in the world as of July 2018? The number isn't given, but it's got to be higher than 97.
Oh, good grief.
It's in the Middle East.
Dubai.
Yeah. Yes, Dubai. That's a good guess. Very good guess.
They needed all of them to build that one building.
I'm sorry. He didn't list the number of cranes currently active as July 2018. But it's the next question. How many cranes are currently active in construction projects in Dubai? It is astounding.
2,000.
97 is a very high number. It's not 2,000, but you're heading in the right direction.
1,000.
1,182 current cranes.
Wow.
Jeez.
It's because they keep building
and that's all
reclaimed
sand.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what to say. I do not know what to say about that.
Reclaimed desert.
Lots and lots and lots of cranes. Plus, it takes a long time to put those cranes together. That's what I always say.
Or take them down.
According to cars.com, which car made in America, in quotes, is the most American built for 2018, meaning that has the most components that are also assembled? It's not the Camry. It's an American company.
Not the Ford F-150.
Nope. It is manufactured in Belvidere, Illinois.
Malibu?
A bit of an acquired taste.
Oh.
Not the Malibu.
Mostly the people who buy these kinds of cars are sort of cultish. They really like
them. Prius?
Nope.
Oh, cultish.
It's an American company.
What's really like trendy, like a group, would, a particular group would really long
Prius
for that car.
Prius people are kind of...
But he said it's American.
I know, I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I was told by a family member who purchased something similar to this that they even have... This is not a joke. They have a special wave that they do to each other when you pass by someone.
What?
Yes, this is not a joke.
It's like AMC Hummer or something?
You're getting close, okay? It's a Jeep product. What product is it?
The Wrangler?
The Cherokee?
Cherokee. The Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, my
There's
gosh.
A wave for this?
Yes, they are a cult, let me tell you. There is a car club called the Michigan Jeepers. They get together with the National Jeepers, and they... Jeepers
and
is all
they
have to say.
You know, when you think about it, that's the one brand that actually saved Chrysler.
That's absolutely true. Yep.
Because, you know, Plymouth has already gone. Dodge is lingering.
Right. I mean, they still have Ram, which isn't
but
Dodge
that's about,
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So,
do they still have the Charger?
That's Dodge.
Yep, I think that's Dodge Brothers.
As Ford announces it's going to phase out all of its passenger cars, I just wonder, this is kind of limiting the future by, as if plentiful petroleum is going to go on forever at decent prices. So, let's go buy all these huge
SUVs,
vehicles, trucks and SUVs. And if that's the only thing you're making...
You're going to be doomed.
Yeah, what... What sort of...
Well, they are investing a ton of money into the electric car.
Right.
Jim, he may have any color he wishes, so except long as it's black.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say? And what we think about that famous quote, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
I'm telling you how the pros handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it,
that's
George.
Right. Bang, that's
how
it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
Whoa.
Isn't it? Or, well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Top chick.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bible college.
Yeah. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time. And the man said, it's none of your business. And he said, oh, yes, it is. And the man said to him, you must be Dwight L. Moody.
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
And we're back with some great questions from our beloved panelist, Professor Jason J. Roach.
He should be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he should be here.
Also, according to cars.com, Which manufacturer has the most models in the top 10 of most parts built in America? Has 4 of the top 10.
Honda.
Honda. Odyssey, Ridgeline, Pilot, and let's see.
CRV, HRV, Civic.
And the Acura MDX. I guess Acura is Honda now.
They're the ones that have the most parts made in the U.S.?
Yeah. Most of the car is made in the United States. Yep.
Yeah. Like my car is made in Libertyville, Ohio. So.
That's right. Yeah. I was about to say, when you said F-150, I'm pretty sure that's Mexico when it comes to Ford. That's where.
I think mine was made in Canada.
Hmm.
My Honda was made in Alabama, I believe.
Ooh, 2 of the most American-built cars from the Cars.com top 10 are manufactured in southeastern Michigan. Which are they?
Well, the Ford Mustang is.
Yeah. You know,
the F-150 is.
Yeah, I misspoke. F-150 is primarily made in Dearborn, but the other one is actually made in Detroit. How many of those cars are made in Detroit anymore?
Well, there's a Cadillac plant in Detroit. Well, it's actually in Hamtramck.
It says the Chevy Volt is currently assembled in Detroit. Yep. Another couple of timely questions based on the globalization of auto manufacturing. Okay. Where is the corporate headquarters for Fiat Chrysler?
Auburn Hills.
That is not where it is.
Oh, that's the North American.
That's the North American branch.
It's not Genoa. Oh.
This is an American-Italian company headquartered in...
Or Italy.
Should I say Italian-American? It's not in Italy.
Oh, it's not? Oh. Germany.
No, but that's a good guess, too. Keep going.
Switzerland. Don't
Geneva,
say London.
Geneva, Switzerland. It's London, England.
Oh, my goodness.
Is where FCA is.
Why? Just centrally located?
Why not?
Maybe they got a tax break? Or they got that lease like Guinness did.
Yeah.
The 900-year lease on making beer.
Or it could also be, you know, like, I know like we lost the Chevy account here because if somebody had a whim, you know, like right now all the Cadillac advertising is done in New York. You know, somebody likes a different city, somebody high up. So somebody wants to move it because they want to live there.
Jeez.
You know, think about it. If you're an executive, do you want to live in Warren, Michigan or New York?
Warren, Michigan, or
New York. No offense to Warren, Michigan. But.
Well, but if you want to buy a tank, that's a good place to go.
Or as my six-year-old would say, U-Nork. Which nation is home to Jaguar and Range Rover?
Great Britain.
The UK.
That's not what it says here. They're now owned by Tata Motors of...
China.
No.
Oh, wait a minute, Tata. India?
India. Indian Motor Company. Yes.
That's right.
Really?
They've been being bought out constantly.
So. Now, on the flip side, based on your last response, which nation is home to the owner of Volvo? That is...
China.
It's the Geely Company. Geely Motors of China owns Volvo, which is... That's the original Swedish brand?
Mm-hmm.
Swedish?
The national car of Sweden.
The national car of Sweden.
How do they feel about it moving to
Who
China?
Knows? It's a business deal.
Well, I can tell you this right about now. The majority of our transportation majors are getting hired in China, not here.
I thought you were going to say the majority of your furniture is from IKEA.
Oh, well, no. We still like North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. No, that is good. We have a lot of IKEA.
Thinking of how many car companies there are, we've listed a good number here, and how many models each one of those car companies makes, including SUVs and trucks, be prepared. Last year, Cars.com tweaked its formula for identifying American cars because not enough cars met the 75% domestic parts content threshold. As of 2016, how many vehicle models met the original bar set at 75% domestic parts?
2?
I'm going to give it to you. It's 8, but it's only 8. They're not listed here, but I have to say. It's not a lot. It's definitely.
How has that changed with the current presidential administration?
That's a good
question.
Like
to see the new.
It's
going to
change. It's definitely going to change.
Well, the president throws around a lot of statistics that aren't even real sometimes, unfortunately. And so I'm not quite sure that he would know what to say about that. Grits teeth. According to investing.com, as of 19 September 2018.
Ooh.
How many cryptocurrencies are there in the world?
Wow.
Jim will say one, Dave will say one, and then Kendra will get it spot
on.
Yeah,
I got to go third on this.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, Jim, come on. You want to go high or low?
I say 18.
It's higher.
I'm going to go 109.
It's higher.
What?
Oh,
okay,
no,
Kendra.
Guys.
I mean, or double ours up.
181.
Wrong.
Oh.
Dang it.
There are 2,287 cryptocurrencies on planet Earth.
So when they mean cryptocurrency, what does that also count as like PayPal?
No, I think that they're specifically Bitcoin. Talking like about
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin
is the most popular.
Why does anyone care?
It's sort of disturbing the more you look into it.
It is very disturbing.
You're trading air. You're trading air in hopes of it'll rise and fall.
Then it will increase in value of air.
Value in air quotes. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of value, according to investing.com, what is the total market value for those 2,287 cryptocurrencies?
25
Zero,
cents.
Because it means nothing.
I was going to say
air.
That, yeah.
$1.98.
$4.81.
It's more money than I have. It's not more than the United States has, but it's more money than I have.
Hmm.
Quick, somebody shake Matt down for his wallet.
$6 billion.
Let's do the three-stepper. I go $6 billion and I go higher. Dave says...
What?
$19 million.
And I say higher and then I point at Kendra.
$30
$200 billion worth of cryptocurrency.
In cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency.
Air currency.
What is that?
Yes.
I don't understand how I could add up.
Money.
I need to add an economics class or something. That does not make sense to me.
When you learn about how they mine the bitcoins, it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. What cryptocurrency is the highest market capitalization? I think Jim already mentioned it.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is the one that everybody knows. It's on a billboard, Nathan Woodward, right
yes.
now. It has a market cap of $21 billion.
Wow.
After Bitcoin, though, can you name any other cryptocurrency of the 2,286 other ones?
No.
Well, the way things are going right about now, the Toonie and Looney are falling fast, too. So, I mean, dear Lord.
Toonie and Looney.
No, my they're God. Too dear.
So no, great. I was
they're
just,
not crypto.
I was there yesterday. I'm like, how much is it worth now compared to the U.S. dollar? It might as well be cryptocurrency.
Oh, my gosh. The only other one that I know about is the one that's here on the list, and that's not saying much. So with a market cap of $13 billion. It's called Ethereum. It's definitely...
Well, that's a good name for it.
Out there.
Air.
Oh, my gosh.
Ether.
All right.
Air currency.
Here we go. Last one from Jason J. Roach. Very well done, Jason. These are really entertaining. Lawmakers in which nation, 19 September 2018, said they want to regulate cryptocurrency trading and end the wild, wild west nature of cryptocurrency trading and make their nation the global hub for legitimate trading in
Russia?
Bitcoin. No. But that makes perfect sense.
China.
I was
sadly,
gonna say China.
You know, China makes sense because they've got a lot of money to spend right now, economically speaking, but it's not China either. It's definitely one of our economic rivals. It's not China, it's not India, I can tell
it
you that.
It wants
right
to
now.
Be the home of
like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, anything.
No,
in the
it's
Midwest?
Not in that realm. Not in that realm.
Pakistan, Iraq, Iran.
Mm-mm.
No, it says here it's the United Kingdom. It's Britain.
Really?
Yeah, they want to get on board.
They used to like real things.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm probably saying a little bit too much, but one of our shared faculty colleagues at the university is planning on being wed by the end of this next semester, and she may or may not have mentioned to me that her fiance had picked up. Because you could buy fractions, right? Like half a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And turned it over within half a year for over $22,000 profit. And I'm no like crazy person like penny stocks or anything, but I'm like, ooh, that sounds interesting. Like,
yeah, maybe I'm going to check this out like looking. Later today
it
at 5 p.m.
It sounds like 1929 U.S. Stock Exchange.
Doesn't
to
it,
me.
Though?
Can't
oh
we just
gosh.
Trade furs and pelts again? I mean, it's so much easier. I mean, geez. Where's my wampum when I need it, Jim?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we have our special grouping of questions here for the end of the show, and they were, of course, sent in by the lovely Anonymous. That's okay. Let's see what we can do here.
Anonymous is lovely.
Lovely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Over time, most occupants of the White House have had pets, but three presidents did not. Can you name
one
of them? Donald Trump is one of them.
Yeah.
Does not have any pets.
Harding.
No.
Calvin Coolidge.
Let's see if we can get like one more. That
Franklin
would be fun.
Pierce.
Nope.
Who else is a stodgy old fuss budget?
How about William Henry Harrison? Because he was sick the whole time he was president.
Hilarious, but he actually had some pets. Yeah. No, it says Polk.
James K. Polk.
And Andrew Johnson.
Oh, well, yeah. Andrew Johnson.
Calvin Coolidge is said to have kept a veritable zoo, including two animals named Tax Reduction and Budget Bureau. What animals were they?
Ravens?
No.
Chickens?
No.
Alligators? Hippopotami?
Over
Ferrets.
The top.
Hippopotamus.
Ostrich. Hippopotamus is getting dang close.
Water buffalo?
They were lion cubs.
Really? I didn't know we had any lion cubs.
That's exciting.
Until they grow up.
You guys have heard about lion stories. You know, like the Detroit Zoo, they used to keep their till in the lion cage.
Oh, gosh. Really?
At the end of the day, they would put the till in the lion cage.
That's a great idea. That is a fantastic idea. Well, that's who's security.
Who's going to mess with them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Who's going to stick their hand in there and try to get it?
Seriously. Herbert Hoover took his German Shepherd on the campaign trail. The dog is sometimes credited with making Hoover seem less stiff and unapproachable. What was the dog's name?
Killer?
This is the best way that I can...
Old blood and guts?
The best way that I can give this
mange?
One is a very famous comedy song sung on Saturday Night Live by Steve Martin.
Oh, no.
Whoa, the
King Tut?
Yeah, King Tut was the name of the dog.
Oh, my goodness.
What a great name for a dog.
I was going to go with Dyson.
Dyson's good, too. That's really good. I know you guys know this one off the top of your head. George H.W. Bush kept an English Springer Spaniel. Do you remember her name?
Millie.
She wrote a children's book. Millie. Yeah. Millie's book. First canine to Barbara Bush. That's right. Very, very well done. I guess I don't know a lot about all of these dogs and
didn't we get a lion question?
Oh, everybody knows FDR's dog, Fala.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but actually.
Didn't Carolyn Kenny have the
horse? She had the pony.
Yeah, what was the... Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Aww.
That actually is our next and probably last question here, Jim. It said FDR and his beloved dog, Fala, are buried side by side in Hyde Park, New York. Do you know what breed of dog Fala was, though?
Scots Terrier.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Mm-hmm. A Scotty.
Very well done. All of these questions are sourced from Heather Donahoe's All the President's Pets from February 2018. That's pretty cool. These random questions sent by Anonymous are pretty interesting. I guess I knew that Donald Trump didn't have
Is it
pets.
For cost savings? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Not bright enough. Not brassy enough.
Not brassy enough?
Probably.
Don't you picture him with some sort of like horse-sized dog with like a perfectly coiffed mane?
No,
and,
no,
you know?
No. I can see him like a porcupine or something like that.
Maybe, if you don't mind me mentioning, he could be the first president to have a whistle pig.
Or a small warthog.
Oh my God.
Often known as the world's ugliest animal. I tell you what, I came upon a group of baby warthogs digging for grubs in the grass, which is what they do in South Africa. And they really are kind of, they're so ugly, they're cute.
Aww.
You know, they just, you know. They look like they're praying because they kneel down and try to dig the bugs out
of
the grass.
Right. Oh, my gosh. As all warthogs are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that we've come to the end of our show, and it's time for us to say goodbye. Kendra.
Have a very good day.
Jim.
Have a great weekend.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.